Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. Verse 10 and 11. And he saved them from the hand of him that hated them. And he redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Of course, this is a story about bringing them out of Egypt. 12 and 13. Then believed they his words. They sing his praise. It's amazing how we go to church when we do go, and we'll praise the Lord. Now, of course, some people go to church, they wouldn't dare raise their hands and praise God. You know, just wouldn't do it at all. They soon forgot his works. Now, is that us? Well, he does all these wonderful things for us, and then we soon forgot who he was. They waited not for his counsel. Or if we're out there doing our own thing, not asking God for nothing. Verse 14 and 15. But they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request. In other words, what was the request? Anybody remember what they wanted out there? They were grumbling and complaining. What did they want? They had manna to eat. What did they want? Meat. They wanted quail. They wanted fish. They wanted something. But they wanted some meat. So they were grumbling and complaining. So God says, okay. He come to Moses and told Moses, Moses, tomorrow I'll have meat for all these people. And of course Moses, the great man of faith, said, God, if you killed every fish in the sea, you couldn't feed this multitude fish by in the morning, or meat by in the morning. That shows you how much faith Moses didn't have. God says, Moses, is my arm getting short? Yeah. Do you not think I can do this? Let me show you what I can do in the morning. So in the morning, coming off the ocean out there, or coming out of the plains, there was millions of quail just flying along. They just knocked them out of the air, reached out and grabbed them, caught them. I mean, they had an abundance. They filled their buckets up with quail, and they cooked them, and they began to eat them. And he says, and he gave them their request. He gave them meat. But he sent leanness unto their soul. Now, does anybody have an NIV? If you have an NIV, I want you to read that verse I just read in verse 15, and I want you to see what he said he sent to them. The King James says, leanness of soul, you might miss it. But in the NIV, what does it say, ma'am?
It says, but a famished disease.
He sent a wasting disease? Is that what it said? Ooh, that makes it a little clearer than leanness of soul, doesn't it? Because of their grumbling and complaining, because they didn't put him first, they forgot his counsel, didn't put him first. He gave them their request, but he sent a wasting disease to destroy them. And many of them died with meat still in their teeth. Do you want to upset God?
No.
I don't either. You know, most people don't know this God that we serve. They think, you know, he's a great big fuddy-duddy God up in the heavens. He's a God of love. He would never do anything bad to none of us. You don't know him. Don't know who he is. Guarantee he will do something to you. In fact, before we pray for people, I'm going to take you with this scripture right here. I'll have to say before I leave here that Ed realized that was him that God was talking about. And here's what he realized. He told me later. He said, I had to fall on my face and repent. He said, I put God first on Sunday only. He said, I was in church on Sunday morning in Sunday school. I was in Bible study. I was in worship service. And I went back on Sunday night. But he said, when I left church on Sunday night, I laid my Bible on the shelf. And Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and all day Saturday, I was Mr. Business. I owned my own business. I had no time for God. Nothing. I'd put God on a back burner. I give God one day a week. And then I gave the world six. And so God let him get to be 42 years old. And he sent a wasting disease. You think that got his attention?
Yeah.
When they tell you and you're 42, you got a few weeks to live, will that get your attention?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you ain't ready to go home, it will, won't it? It got Ed's attention. And he really did. Now, let me take you to Deuteronomy 32, 39. And I want to show you something right at the end here. A little bit about God that you may or may not know. Deuteronomy 32, 39. Some people don't even believe this after they read it. It's an awesome statement. See now that I, even I, am He. and there is no God with me. I do what? I do what? I kill? Did you tell me God said He kills? I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. So if you get healed, who heals you? If you get wounded, you come down with cancer or whatever, who wounded you? God did. Who's in control? That's all you got to remember, is God's in control. Neither is there any that can deliver you out of my hand. In other words, I am God, and I'm in control. I'm running the show, folks. He really is. If you make Him happy, He'll give you a long, healthy, blessed life. And life is good when you serve the King. Now let's go to Isaiah 45, verses 5, 6, and 7. And let's see these scriptures, and then we will start praying for people. I want you to see these things. I am the Lord, and there is none else, and there is no God besides me. So how many gods are there? There's one. Is Allah God? Oh, you mean that when George Bush said that the God that the Muslims serve, which is Allah, and the God we serve, the Christian God, they're the same God? You don't agree with him, do you? No, I don't agree with him either. He is totally messed up. The God we serve, His name is not Allah. The God we serve's name is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. And there is no God besides our God. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God besides me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. What does that mean? I girded you. In other words, I'm in control of you. You do what you do because I'm in control of you. You know, when you think about these kind of stories, like where it said, I girded you, every time I see this, I think about King Sennacherib, which was sitting there, the king of Assyria, and all of a sudden he just got a wild thought in his heart to go across to a certain nation over here and just wipe them out. So he gets his armies together and he takes them over there and they kill them all. And then another thought comes, they go down to the next nation and kill all them. And so he does. And then another thought comes to his mind and says, go down there to that nation and kill all them. So he goes down there and kills them all. Then he comes back on the way back to Assyria. He stops by Jerusalem. He says, you know, I've been out killing everybody. I think I'll just kill all the Jews too while I'm out here. And so he tells King Hezekiah, I said, tomorrow I'm going to wipe you guys out. I'm going to kill y'all. Well, Isaiah the prophet and Hezekiah, it's time to pray. You know, if there was ever a time to pray, somebody comes by and said, tomorrow I'm going to kill y'all, wipe you out. It's time to pray, right? And so they pray, and God speaks to Isaiah and says, no, Hezekiah's been a good king. Tell him not to worry. You know, I'll take care of you. Hezekiah, he said, the thing about King Sennacherib, he doesn't know me, but he works for me. You know, when I read that in the scripture, I thought, what? He said, yeah, he works for me. He said, now then, because he's refused to give me the glory, tonight I'm going to send one angel and I'm going to kill 185,000 of his troops. How many angels?
One.
God's going to send one angel and he's going to kill 185,000 of King Sennacherib's troops. If that's the case, and he told us he sends his angels and gives them charge over us, how many of those boys do you need protecting you? You know, two or three ought to be enough, right? Four or five. We ought to be okay with that. But you got to remember, this is who's protecting you when you walk in faith. And so, he also said, because Sennacherib will not give me glory, although he works for me. In other words, I girded him. He works for me, although he don't know me. I'm the one that sent him to those other nations to wipe them out because of their wickedness. He works for me, but he don't know me. And because he refuses to give me the glory, now then I'm going to kill 185,000 of his troops, then I'm going to send him back to his own temple, Dagon. I'm going to have him walk into his temple, bow down before his idol there, his God. And while he's bowed down in front of his God, I'm going to have one of his own sons come over and pull his sword and kill him before his own God. And that's exactly the way he died. How would you like to tick off the king? Would you like to tick him off?
No, sir.
No, I don't either. I mean, he said, I am the Lord, there is none else, there is no God besides me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Verse 7. I formed the light. How many of you believe God forms the light? And I create darkness. He creates darkness. I make peace. And I create evil. I was listening to two preachers the other day talking on a talk show, and they said, if we ever figure out where evil comes from, I thought, you guys need to read the book. I said, God told you where evil comes from. He makes it. Is that what he said? I've also seen pastors that wrote books about this verse that says this verse doesn't mean what it says. Well, I ain't going to go there with them. If God says, I form the light and I create darkness, I make peace and I create evil, I, the Lord, do all these things, I'm going to say, glory to God, He does all these things. I ain't arguing with Him, are you? If God said it, that's it. You don't make it whether you believe it or not. It's done. Now, let's go back to this one verse before we start praying for you people. I want to go back to James 5, 14, 15, and 16. And I want this to get in your spirit before we pray for you. I want you to look at this one more time. James 5, 14, 15, and 16. The God that we serve, this is a guarantee under the new covenant that He made a guarantee of what He would do for all of us that will believe. James 5, 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Is that, let me just ask this question. If you can believe God's word, is that a guarantee to heal you every time? So that's the only verse you need. If you've got that verse, if you repent of your sins and tell God you'll put Him first, you'll walk in love with Him, you'll go to church, you'll tithe, you'll do all the things, you'll get in His Word, read His Word, put Him first, and just love Him and serve Him and bless His name and not be ashamed of Him. If you will do those things, I guarantee we anoint you with oil. If you believe with me, I guarantee if you'll trust Him and Him alone, He will heal you.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, Have You Prayed Yet? In its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.